Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, former Finn Harps manager Anthony O'Gorman joins us for our League of Ireland chat. Derry All-Ireland winner Eamon Burns looks ahead to the Derry Senior Football Championship final meeting of Glen and Sloughneil, while Andy Connors takes his Termin Ladies side into the opening round of the Ulster Senior Ladies Championship. Plus, we hear from one of the top Donegal athletes from the 1980s in the form of Sean Carlin, and Michael Murphy joins us as well to tell us about the new competitive sports season for ATU Donegal. But we're going to start with football. This week in the Premier Division, Finn Harps are on the road as they take on Bohemians tomorrow evening, Friday, at Dalymount Park. Conor Breslin will have updates here on Highland as from the 7:45 kickoff, in association with B&S Credit Union Ballybuffet. Harps sit ahead of UCD only in goal difference, but the students still have a game in hand over the Ballybuffet men and have to come to Finn Park on Friday week the 28th. While at the other end of the table, Derry City entertain Shelburne at the Brandywell. The Foyle Siders are chasing league leaders Shamrock Rovers with 6 points separating the sides, but Derry have a game in hand and also have to play the Hoops before the end of the campaign. Derry will also face Shelburne in the FA Cup final at the end of the season. So this week on our League of Ireland chat, I've been speaking with former Finn Harps player-manager Anthony O'Gorman.
Yeah, it's a big weekend, especially for the local clubs, Oisin. Harps, obviously, with a fight for survival, and a big weekend ahead of them. A difficult away trip to Bowes, and UCD, obviously, with a home game to Drogheda. But I suppose extra incentive for the Bohemians players, and the fact that Declan Devine's taking his first game in charge at home. So it's a big weekend and a big task ahead for Finn Harps.
Yeah. How much of a lift or a big factor is that from a Bowes point of view, that you got a new manager installed? He watched from the stands last week. He's taken training for the first time, Anthony. There'll be a lot of players on that team who want to impress for Bowes against Harps.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a good time for Bowes as a football club to appoint Declan Devine, because you're coming into the last three games of the season. Bowes have had a very disappointing season compared to the season they had previously. And, you know, they've sent out a message of intent with the signing of Keith Buckley. He's coming back to Bowes after being away for a year. So that's the sort of calibre of player that Bowes will bring into the team. The players that are, the existing players that are at Bowes, they've got three games in which the either earn a new contract or impress the manager and send out a statement, a personal statement, to say that they want to remain at Bowes for 2023. So that makes the task that Finn Harps have ahead of them all the more difficult, Oisin. So in what is already a difficult task for them to stay in the division.
Yeah, and there's nothing going to be, there's no surprises, I suppose, coming from Declan Devine's point of view, because he knows the way that Harps are going to play, having previously been involved with Derry and meeting them in derby matches.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Bowes are certainly have the advantage with Declan being involved with Derry over the years, and you know, all the games, the derby games that they would have played against Finn Harps. So he'll know Finn Harps inside out. He'll know Ollie and obviously Gavin Dykes very well from playing against them over the years with various teams and that. So Declan, you know, going into Bowes, it's a big help to Bowes in this. You know, as a club, you know, they're really playing for nothing, but they're playing for pride, and I suppose the players are playing for new contracts and new deals, and Harps are playing for their survival. And the fact that Devine has gone in there has just made the task, I think, just a wee bit more difficult for them.
Well, what about Finn Harps? Last week, of course, losing out to Dundalk by 2-1. Again, Harps only seem to be getting going in the second half, Declan or Anthony, but at that stage, it seems to be too late in games. And again, I'm sure Ollie Horgan will be hammering it out that the start is very, very important. And you can't trail, and you can't be sleeping in the first half and find yourself 2 or 3 nil down before you start playing.
Absolutely, Oisin. But the situation that Finn Harps are in, You know, they're down at the bottom, they're fighting for survival, and confidence will not be great among the players. You know, you look at their stats for the season, you know, they've only won 4 games, and they picked up 1 point out of the last possible 15. So there's obviously a tightness and a nervousness going into the games, and, you know, that's probably why they're not starting well and not, you know, playing the way that they want to play, because there's a pressure on them. Like, there's a pressure on, you know, on Ollie to get results. There's a pressure on the players to perform on the field. And then you'll see when, like, you'll see it all the time where, and it's not, Van Herps are not unique to it, that, you know, it's easy, the shackles come off when you go a couple of goals down. You know, they just throw caution to the wind, the shackles come off, they go and play, and that's when you see probably the true potential of the players that Van Herps have at the minute. And you are seeing better performances in the second half, and I think that's just down to the confidence and the pressure of having to perform in the first half to try and pick up points.
Yeah, and obviously if you can get a couple of goals, Anthony, it'll be a huge boost. The last time these teams played in Dublin, it ended in a draw, 2-2, if I'm right in saying.
Yeah.
Listen, that would be a big point for Ollie Horgan on Friday night if he could repeat that.
I'm sure Ollie would take that now, Oisin. And the spirit they showed in the last game, you know, you talk about that 2-2 draw. If you remember, Hearts were down to 9 men that night with Ryan Rennie, and I think it was Eric McWood who was sent off in that game. And they got a late equaliser from, I think it was Mark Timlin. But it shows you, like, Hearts will need all that fighting spirit and all that togetherness, you know, if they're to get something out of the game on Friday night. And I'm sure Ollie would grab that opportunity now of a point.
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't work out for Harps tomorrow night, the last thing that they want would be UCD picking up something against Drogheda United at the Belfield Bowl, don't they?
Yeah. UCD, you know, it's one of them where I think the fact that they've picked up some decent points along the road, it sort of masks over the season that they've had. I know they do have the game in hand over Finn Harps, but, you know, tomorrow night's game out of the equation, really. But you look at the Harps' next home game now, that's UCD next week, which is a massive, massive game. And that's the real fixed pointer. And that's the one that can decide both teams' fate. And I'm sure, you know, UCD will be looking and probably hopeful that they'll be able to pick something up tomorrow night against Drogheda. But and it's very difficult for both managers, because they're going into the game. UCD are preparing for Drogheda, Van Harps are preparing for Bowes. But both managers will have an eye on next week's game. You know, UCD travelling to Ballymafay to play Van Harps, and a game that could ultimately decide the fate of the opponents.
Yeah, but UCD also have to play as Shelburne, isn't it? And their game in hand in the intervening period as well. So there's a lot of matches here to be played for UCD. And if you actually add in the third level CUFL matches, which started this week and will continue next week as well, and there's, I think, there may be 6 or 7 League of Ireland players that's involved in that too. All those matches could take a toll on the students, so they could, aren't they?
They could, certainly, Oisin. But you know what you're going to get out of UCD. You're going to get youth, you're going to get enthusiasm, you're going to get good energy, and I'm sure, like, the amount of games will not be a problem for them. Maybe a wee advantage that UCD might have is the fact that they have Shelburne to play, where maybe Shell's going into the game will have one eye on the FAI Cup, and maybe players have been rested, you know, so that could maybe ultimately go against Van Harps.
But at this stage of the season, Anthony, is that at this stage of the season, given that you're at the end of the campaign, having to play so many games, go through so many players, so late in the campaign, it could be very, very testing on them.
It can, yeah, certainly. But I'm sure, you know, UCD are probably in a good position where, you know, the lads are, the majority of them are students, and, you know, they'll basically train and preparing full time, and they're going to get good recovery, and they'll avail of every tool that they have at their disposal to get their players in the top form for the game. Unlike Harps, where, you know, Harps are still very much part time, and boys traveling and boys working, and you know, so but UCD, like, it is, you're 100% right in what you're saying. You're coming to the tail end of the season. It's been a long arduous season for a lot of the players playing a lot of games. And like you're right, Ashton, the college games are take a preference as well for the players. But you just imagine that at this stage of the season, they're looking at four league games to go. And, you know, it's just another 90 minutes and prepare for the next game. And the players, the modern player especially, like they have every possible opportunity to get themselves right for the next game. And, you know, I don't think, you know, that it's going to be that big a factor for UCD.
Well, we'll wait to see what happens, and we will, of course, be looking very much forward to that UCD Fin Harps game, which is taking place on Friday week. That's going to be such a massive game, and it'll be interesting to see what the landscape's going to be come Friday night ahead of that one, Anthony. But there's other matches taking place as well. Derry City and Shelburne, these teams both through to the FAI Cup final in the middle of November after their respective wins yesterday. Both sides know each other very well. What kind of game are you expecting tomorrow night? And is it a game that you would expect Derry to keep a wee bit of pressure, whatever sort of pressure there is, to put in Shamrock Rovers at the top of the table?
There is a pressure on Derry, obviously, you know, to challenge Rovers for the league. You know, they have invested heavily, but Derry's on a fantastic run where, you know, they've won their last five matches. And during that spell of them winning five games, Rovers have won three and drawn two. But to think, you know, I'm sure Derry people might be thinking it's going to be a formality where they're playing Shelburne, pushing for the league. But we cast our minds back to the start of the season when Derry got off to a flying start, Ashton. But it was Shelburne that inflicted the first defeat on them at the Brandywell. And they were worthy of the victory that night. I must say, you know, they played good football. They knocked the ball about well. And probably the Brandywell surface at that time suited Shelburne. So if Derry would be very much wrong to think that, you know, they're just going to turn up and pick up 3 points tomorrow night. But again, similar to what UCD may face on, you know, in the game against UCD, or against Shelburne, sorry, where maybe Shells have one eye on the FAI Cup and the league not being a priority. But certainly Derry, you know, I've spoke about Derry over the last couple of weeks to people, and, you know, the Derry supporters are saying the league's in their own hands. And you look at it, it possibly is. They've got a game in hand, but they have to play Shamrock Rovers. You know, so Rovers at the moment are sitting 6 points clear with three games to go. You'd rather be in the Shamrock Rovers dressing room at the minute with Derry chasing you, because, you know, they have the experience as well of winning leagues, whereas Derry, it's a relatively new experience for Derry. But Derry have set down a good marker this year, Ashton, of where they want to be and where they expect to be over the next couple of seasons.
Yeah. Can St. Pat's help Derry out tomorrow night by taking something off Shamrock Rovers?
Possibly, Ashton. It's a Dublin derby. You know, if you look at, say, like I always remember listening to some of the managers of the big London teams reckoning that, you know, it's more difficult for a London team to win the Premier League than, say, one of the northern teams like Liverpool or Manchester United, but because of the amount of derbies that are in place. So I'm sure, listen, St. Pat's, you know, they're up sitting in fourth at the minute. It's been a somewhat decent season for Pats without being, you know, they've never ever been in a position where they've really been challenging. But it's by no means going to be an easy game for Rovers. The one thing Rovers have, and I said previously, is that they have the experience of being in this position. And that's vital, you know, compared to Derry, where they don't have that experience. But Pats will certainly not want to be rolling over and allowing Shamrock Rovers to pick up an easy 3 points.
And Dundalk just finally are looking to cement third position in the league as well. And they're just a point ahead of St. Pat's. They took on Sligo Rovers. I suppose the season hasn't gone the way that Sligo had hoped in patches this year, but Dundalk now, maybe with that victory against Harps, will feel, after a bit of a wobble in recent weeks, they'll be able to possibly see it out with a bit more success.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen O'Donnell's been into Dundalk, and it's been another team that's been quite a challenging season for them. But I think given all that went on at Dundalk the previous season, with the change in managership and everything, I think this will be a successful season for Dundalk if they can cement third place. It has been disappointing for Sligo in a season that probably threatened and offered to be so good for them, because they had a couple of good results in Europe, beating Mullerwell, and but they just couldn't step it on from that. And they were quite similar last year as well, Sligo, if you remember. They did really well up until the break, and then they couldn't buy one after the break, and they were a wee bit similar this year. But I suppose from a local point of view, it's been good to watch Sligo Rovers and see Shane Blinney performing well for them. But Sligo will certainly be looking to push on as well, Ashley, for next season.
Okay, Anthony, that's it. Many thanks for joining us tonight on The Score. Just before I let you go, how's things going at the moment with Dungannon?
It's been very difficult, Ashley. This time last year, we were in a similar position, but our performances last year were that bit better. This year, our performances haven't been as good. You could look at a few different factors. We've brought in, there's been a changeover in personnel, and we've been unfortunate, I suppose, in the fact that, four of our big players, like Ryan Mays, Darren McBrien, who's the other one, Toll, or Darren Cole, Dean Curry, they've been injured and they've been missing for long periods, and it hasn't helped us. And we're sort of just trying to get our performances up to speed, and at the minute we haven't really looked much of a goal threat at the minute either. We're playing so well to a point, but we're still confident. We've got good quality in other areas of the park, and we still expect to be, last year we finished ninth, and I suppose ninth for Dungannon is quite successful given the budget that we're working with. But our performances need to improve, and I think once we get our performances up and get some of the key players back, we'll start picking up a few more points, Ashton.
Yeah, not too concerned then at the minute that you're 6 points from safety, Anthony, though?
It is a concern, actually. I'm not going to lie to you. I think the worrying aspect has been tried different things, and in terms of personnel and systems of play. And we've been a wee bit over reliant at times on the likes of Ryan Mays and Darren McBrien, and then when we've missed them, like McBrien hasn't played all season, and he's going to be out for a while longer. And Ryan Mays was injured for the first five or six games, and now he's suspended. So Dean Curry came in at the start, played really well, gave us stability in the back four, and he went out with a groin injury. Our goalkeeper, he was ill last week. So everything seems to be, and I suppose teams in that position, things like that just seem to go against you at times, but... We're still confident in the players that we have signed. We're definitely, in terms of on paper, we're very much stronger than we were last year. But as the old saying goes, you never won anything on paper, Ashton.
Yeah.
And it's up to, there's a pressure on, I'm not going to lie to you, there's a pressure on to start getting results. And the pressure is coming from within, from ourselves, from the management, from the players. So it's vital we start picking up some points.
Okay, Anthony, thanks for joining us, and we wish you the very best with Dungannon as the weeks go on in the Premier Division. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Ashton. Thank you.
There you go. That's Anthony Gorman looking ahead to the League of Ireland action this weekend. Once again, just to remind you, Finn Harps against Bohemians. We will have updates here on Highland tomorrow evening with Conor Breslin. And just jumping a further 7 days ahead, on Friday the 28th, Harps, of course, are playing UCD. That's going to be the crucial game in the Premier Division for Harps in their battle for survival. whoever wins that game, you could say, will be safely into the playoff and staying out of that automatic drop position. We'll have that game live in its entirety for you on Friday week. That's the Harps UCD tie. Moving on now to Gaelic games. This Sunday, defending champions Glen take on Sláinte in the Derry Senior Football Championship final. Glen sealed a place in the decider with a comprehensive win over Newbridge, while Sláinte beat Lavey to set up a repeat of last year's game. Glen are the current holders of the prestigious Jim McLaughlin Cup and will look to make it back-to-back senior wins for the first time in the history of the Wattie Grahams club. Sláinte, of course, have been champions on six previous occasions, and that included the four in a row between 2014 and 2017. This year's showpiece decider is taking place at Celtic Park in Derry on Sunday. It starts at 3:30. Tom Comack has been looking ahead to the game with Derry All-Ireland winner Eamon Burns.
It's very much the top two in the county by a brave streak. Glen, as you say, won their first county title ever last year. But, you know, we've been waiting for quite a few years for that to happen because of it's such a talented bunch there with... coming through from the four Ulster Minors in a row there, a decade ago, we sort of waited, and then maybe thought it maybe never would happen. And Malik O'Rourke came in with Ryan Porter and brought them to the first title, And obviously then Sláinte are sort of, Sláinte have won four in a row under Mickey Moore and then lost one and then came back and won a 2 years ago, came back under Paul Bradley and won their fifth title, well, their sixth ever title. But so, very much the two best in the county, Tom, and going to be a really interesting contest, you know.
And tell me, how has Glen, defended their championship? Have they impressed along the way and on the way back?
Just very slowly but surely, and they've felt their way into it. There was a few lads, obviously well documented. Kieran McFall and Jack Doherty went to America for a summer. Did the group stages without those lads. Kieran's obviously still in America. Jack Doherty's back and playing really well. They saw off my own club, Ballinasheen, in the last 16, 10 points. Beat Marfelt, who probably, in fairness, would be the third best team in the county, Tom, and they won the title, obviously, they beat Glen in the final 3 years ago. So they saw off Marfelt, dispatched them fairly well in the second half, and similarly against Newbridge, and Newbridge wouldn't have been fancy, but it was only 6-4 at half time, but now they pulled away with ease, and just with every round you've sort of felt them going through the gears, as if they're improving all the time, and they've really come to the peak at the right time of the season, Tom, so they're definitely an informed team,
And tell me, has Jack Doherty returned?
Yeah, Jack's back, yeah, and he played as he kept on the bench against Ballinasheen, but he did really well in the quarter final against Marfelt and against Newbridge. He's a fine player. Been wearing number 11, playing more or less centre half forward and round that. But he's probably more impressive than his brother Ethan, and Ethan's been obviously had a great season for the county. Jack's probably been more prominent. Then there's a third brother there, Alex. That's been, has been coming off the bench, and if you see his talent too, but it would start in any other 15 in any other club in the county, but they've been springing him from the bench. So look, they've plenty of talent there, and Emmett Bradley's back from injury. He'd been out injured. He's a big plus for them, and obviously Conor Glass is such a, he's still not at his peak, because you consider he had four years in Australia, and feeling his way back into the round ball, I would say suggest that he's still not at his peak in terms of Gaelic games, so he's been just started to get more impressive as the rounds went on as well, Tom. So no, I see his outfit, Tom.
And tell me, obviously Jack Doherty has slotted in for Kieran McFall, would that be right to say, is it?
Well, not necessarily. No, Kieran would have played more wing half back, wing half back last year, centre half back, whereas Jack would have been a four line, There's a young lad there, a young lad Michael Warnock there has been playing, sort of filling in that Kieran McFall role. So, there's plenty of options, There's young lads, like Sean and Mahal there come off the, those boys are only 19 or whatever, 18, 19. And, there's plenty of options now. Kieran, don't get me wrong, Kieran's a a player that would any team would want. But you know,
he was their go-to. He was their go-to player last year, wasn't he? He was the man.
He probably has been in his good few years, you know. But just the strength and depth that you know they're able to, you know, they're able to. Other boys are able to step up to the plate, really, and they're still a very strong 15. So, you know, it'll be hard to beat Tomlin.
What of Slough Neil?
Yeah, well, Slough Neil, I would say Slough Neil, I told you 3 weeks ago, I probably would have fancied Slough Neil for definite raid. But I've watched Glenn, you know, going through the gears, and I didn't see Slough Neil against Lavi. But, you know, there's a few boys back from last year, important players, like Karen McCaig's back. And defence. So, I mean, Glenn beat them by, I think it was 8 or 9 points in the final at Celtic Park last year. But with Carol McCaig back, with a couple of young players there, young Rory Meenan's come in, played well for the hurlers and for the footballers. You know, the Brendan Rodgers back at full fitness. Potty Tad's back. He had a big, he had a groin surgery, you know, kept him out of the Derry team this year, really. So he's back in the half hour lane. So, again, look, really strong outfit, probably more so than last year, I would say. You know, I watched them against Swatter in the quarterfinal and expected Swatter to come close, but no, they pulled away and won that game by 10 points, you know. So, and then Lavi pulled a couple of goals in the first half against them, or a point up at half time, but again, they went through the gears. Obviously, look, you know, Shane McGuigan's the key man there for Slough Neil in the forward line. Shane McGuigan and I know Paddy Cassie's playing a wing forward, and we Christopher Bradley, Sammy Bradley's an important forward for him. But if Shane McGuigan, you know, can, you know, he's just a good talent. But I think Ryan Dugan and that there did fairly well, sort of, not just Ryan, but you know, as a collective, they sort of snuffed him out last year in the county final. So Celtic Park's good, but Celtic Park's a good bit smaller, Tom, than Owen Beg, and that makes it be a wee bit easier for defences, you know, to snuff boys to get out. I think, you know, it's tighter. So all these quarterfinals and semifinals have been at Owen Beg, but the final, I suppose, because it's double the capacity crowd-wise, as always at Celtic Park, you know.
So I suppose the big question is, how do you see it go?
I would say. I'm probably still going to plump for Glenn on this one, you know. Say a couple of weeks ago, maybe we said Slough Neil. Very hard to know. Slough Neil's defence is very strong. Glenn's midfield is very strong. Conor Glass and Emmett Bradley, you know. Obviously, Patsy Bradley and is 38 at this stage, and Joe McGuigan hasn't played, you know, a lot up to this year, but has played well. But so it's going to be the midfield battle, might see it for Glenn possibly, but you know, wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, wouldn't surprise me at all if like they're all winners. Their record's unbelievable. Tom and Slough Neil have 10 in a row hurling titles. You know, and many of them boys have got 5 football titles. So you know, some of those boys have got 15 championship medals between hurling and football. So look, I think this one will go right to the wire, you know, and it certainly wouldn't surprise me if Slough Neil take it. But two really good teams, and whatever team wins it, Tom, you know, they'll go out and they'll know. You would fancy them to go on a bit of a run in Ulster, you know.
That's Eamon Burns on the Derry Senior Championship Final. 3:30 is the start to that game at Celtic Park between Glenn and Slough Neil. Before that, at 1:30, is the intermediate final with Drumcern against Glenullen. Elsewhere in the Northwest, there's also hurling and football finals in Tyrone. On Saturday, the Junior Hurling Decider will see Dungannon against Oma St. Enda's, while Carrickmore will play Neve Colum Kill in the Senior Hurling Final. It's a doubleheader on Saturday at Hayley Park with those games at 1:30 and 3:30. It's back to Hayley Park on Sunday for the doubleheader of the Football Championship. There's two deciders taking place. The Junior Final between Stewartstown Harps and Ahaloo is at 1:30. And then at 3:30, it's the intermediate final. Eden Dork St. Malachy's are up against Galbally Pierces. The senior final, of course, in Tyrone is taking place on Sunday week. Here in Donegal, there is a senior championship tie to be played this weekend. It's the Senior C Football Decider. It's the final of the competition. Niamh Connell, of course, who are looking to wrap up a hat-trick of senior titles after their Senior A and B success last weekend. They're taking on McCools and Glenswilly on Saturday afternoon, and that one starts at 2 o'clock. Moving on to the Ulster scene for the ladies. The first of the Donegal clubs playing this weekend is Gweedore. They take on Saul from Down in the Ulster Junior Championship quarter-final on Saturday afternoon. And then there's two further teams to be come on Sunday with games taking place. In Ballyshannon, Aroa Donegal are taking on Stillstown of Derry. That is in the quarter-final at intermediate level. But Tyrone welcomed the Cavan Ladies Champions Lurgan to the Burn Road in the Senior Club quarter-final on Sunday. That match throws in at 2 o'clock. Termon sealed the place in the provincial competition after their dramatic free-kick shootout win over Glenfinn. The Donegal champions last played in Ulster in 2019 when they went all the way to the final, only to lose to Dunamoyne. Tom Comack has been looking ahead to this game with the Termon manager, Andy Connors.
Well, Andy, they always say to... The great way to go into any championship or any big championship game is have a good test in the game beforehand, and you certainly got that this year in this year's Donegal final.
Oh, we definitely did. We expected nothing less, in fairness, when we were pitted against Glenfinn in the final. It's always never more than a kick of the ball between the teams, and that was proven once again on a couple of weeks ago there.
But came through in the end, and I suppose it was no way. A lot of people say it's no way to end the final. But you had your hard luck story last year, so I suppose maybe justice was done in the end.
Well, I suppose if you want to look at it like that, that's one way of looking at it. But at the end of the day, somebody had to win. You know, and obviously it was a bad way to end the game. I thought there should have been a replay because we had 3 weeks between the Donegal final and the Ulster final, the Ulster first round, but when they said that the game had to be ended on the day, that was it, and you just had to take your poison and get on with it, you know.
And looking ahead now to the Ulster campaign, just looking through your team this year, quite a lot of changes, some of them forced, some of them not, I suppose, from last year.
That's the thing, if you go through our team from even when I came in first last season, we had 6 or 7 changes from the team from the year before that could beat by Glenfinn in the county final. And then even the county final this year compared to last year, we had 6 different starters that didn't start last year. And then we had 2 that came off the bench as well. So we had 8 different players that weren't involved the previous year. So it's a big turnaround, Vic.
Yeah, and quite a lot of experienced players coming back as well. Maria Carr, she's your captain. She's back. I think, what was it, Lauren Gallagher's back as well.
Lauren Gallagher, and then we didn't have Roisin Freely. Roisin Yankee, she hadn't played last year as well, so she's been a big help since she came back into the team. She got injured just before the championship started last season, so it's like having another new player with having her back as well, you know.
And obviously an influx of a couple of young players as well.
Well, that's it. I suppose the same with any team, whether it's men or ladies, you need to always be adding 1 or 2 players to the team, and to bring youth in brings that bit of not naivety, but brings in a bit of they don't really care of what's going on, you know. They're not going to be bothered with nerves. They just go and play the game, and that's the way it is, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of rave reviews for Niamh Bonner, the halfback.
Niamh Bonner's done very well, right? She came in, I think it was in the second last league game, because she'd been involved with Donegal under 15s and stuff like that there, so we hadn't really annoyed her up to that stage, you know. We just let her carry on with playing at her own age group and stuff. But once that was finished, we asked her to come into the panel just to join us for training and stuff like that there. But since she's come in, she hasn't been a foot wrong, you know. So it's great to see for her, and I suppose great for Termon in the long run when you have good young players coming through that's going to help progress the whole thing then for the seasons to come, you know.
And looking ahead to Ulster, I suppose really you couldn't look ahead to it until after the county final this year against Glenfinn.
No, well, that's it. You take one game at a time, as the man says. And then once we get over the line in the county final, you kind of look forward then, and we found out that we were going to be playing the Cavan champions. I think they had played the day before in their county final. So it was all systems go, and then we have the advantage, I suppose, of playing at home as well. So that's a good thing for the girls and a good thing for the whole club that they've got a home quarter final in Ulster at the Burn Road on Sunday.
And tell me, what do you know of Lurgan from Cavan? They're from around Virginia, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, they got beaten in the county final last year, and they came back obviously this year. There'll be a lot like us that have a good experience, and then they've a lot of, they've got a few younger players as well. Their minors won the championship in Cavan this year, and their junior team got to the final in Cavan this year as well. So they've a lot of good players, a lot to pick from, kind of thing, you know.
So Sunday at the Burn Road, obviously home advantage, as you said, is a good thing as well.
Yeah, well, that's, you'd hope that it's a good thing. Anyway, you know, we'll not know till 4 o'clock on Sunday whether it helps or not. But we would hope that it will be played to our advantage. Anyway, you would hope that you can get over the line and then look forward to a semi final then the week after. You know, but as I say, we'll take it one game at a time and hopefully get over Lurgan first before we worry about a semi final then.
And tell me, have you got everybody?
We should have everybody, yeah, for the same panel basically as the county final. Unfortunately, Jamie Lee Murray, she got injured in the group game against Moville in the last couple of minutes of that there, and she's out with a cruciate injury. Unfortunately, she's going for an operation next week, I think it is. But apart from that, we have everyone else, thankfully.
Is there a level of expectation now with Termon, given their good record in Ulster?
Well, I suppose there's always an expectation, but expectation and reality are two different things. You know, you got to go out and perform on the day, and that's what we're hoping for the girls to do now come Sunday, and then look forward to see where that can take you. But we're not looking past Sunday at this stage. The same as when we played Glenfinnan, we didn't look to the county or the Ulster quarter final until we got that game over. So we're not going to look any further than this week now.
That's the Termon boss, Andy Connors. Just sticking with things ladies football, there's a double header on Saturday in Neve Padraig Lifford. It's the Junior B Shield final at 2 o'clock, Red Hughes against Termon. And then the Senior Shield final, St Union's against St Noel's, is at 3:45. The official opening of the Donegal's GA Centre takes place tomorrow afternoon, Friday, in Convoy. The unveiling will be attended by GA President Larry McCarthy, Minister for Sport Jack Chambers, and Ulster GA President Kieran McLaughlin. The training base, which cost in the region of €6.5 million to date, houses 5 pitches, a gym, changing rooms and administration offices. Work began on the site in 2008. All 40 clubs from the county will be represented at the opening tomorrow. Well, the new college's sports season started this week for the ATU Donegal, and it began brightly. It was a good night on Wednesday for the two men's Gaelic football teams in Belfast. They started their respective Division 1 league campaigns with wins over Queens at the Dub. The Freshers were first up with a 2-10-1-9 win. Luke McGlynn of Glenfinnan top scored there with 1-5. And likewise, Joel Bradley Walsh at 1-5 for the senior side as they defeated Queens 111-9 points. Killebeg's Jack McSharry scored 3 points, while Jack Gallagher, Jason McGee and Rory O'Donnell also got in the score sheet. Earlier in the week, on Tuesday, the Ladies Gaelic Footballers started the season with a 3-11-11 point win over ATU Sligo in Convoy. And this evening, the ATU Men's Hurlers are starting their Division 3 league campaign as they take on TUS Midlands. That game currently being played at the GA Centre in Convoy. While on the soccer front, the ATU men's side are playing in the top tier in the Premier Division of the CUFL this year. Their game on Wednesday in Dublin at UCD was abandoned in the second half due to an injury suffered by one of the players. Well, ahead of all these matches this week, there was a launch of the new competitive season for the Letterkenny College, who also announced a new partnership with Fintru. I've been speaking with the ATU's head of sport, who's Michael Murphy.
Yeah, excited to say it's a launch of our new competitive season, I suppose, here for teams and individual sports at ATU Donegal. Obviously, we've merged into a new technological university, and you know, Fintru through I suppose conversations over probably the past year or so. You know, they were, I suppose, interested to try and form a partnership, I suppose, with ourselves in terms of our sports here. And you know, we were delighted to get that off the ground, and I suppose that'll really enable us to try and, I suppose, continue to develop the supports for our competitive sports here at ATU Donegal, and I suppose we're delighted to do that. You know, Fintru, I suppose, are recently moved here towards opened up a Letterkenny branch in terms of their company. So as I say, it's hopefully it'll be a good partnership for both parties.
Yeah. The new season starting for several sports this week, Michael, but I'm sure you've had a lot of preparation to do over the last number of months to get things right for, I suppose, the coaches coming in and then for those students that are going to be part of the sporting dynamic here as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. Listen, as I suppose, you know, we see sport as a huge part of life here at ATU Donegal, you know, first and foremost when students, you know, come through the door here, you know, be that sporting students or students maybe who are just interested in physical activity as a whole. Their education is number one, but you know, that's within the classroom. You know, we see a big picture also outside of the classroom in terms of the whole student life and student experience, and you know, being able to offer, you know, a diversity of sporting experiences for them, I think is something that's just healthy for the overall student experience. And we think our sports are growing here, both our competitive sports, but even our more recreational sports that we have on offer here too. Are growing, and we're hoping that there's something there for all students and I suppose all staff here as a whole to try and avail of.
Yeah, because it's not just about, let's be honest, the Gaelic and the soccer, and we've talked to Maxie Curran and we've talked to Shane Byrne this week who are starting their new campaigns. There's a lot more outside of that here at the ATU.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that I've been you know, really, really, I suppose, surprised and energised by is, yes, there's big numbers of, I suppose, of members to those, you know, aforementioned sports or basketball. Our soccer or Gaelic games have big numbers, but you know, in the recent years since we've come into the role, you know, to see other sports potentially like, you know, badminton we have here, Olympic weightlifting was one in terms of last year that we have here. We have students that compete in a variety of other individual sports, athletics, boxing, karate. So yeah, there's quite a lot and very, very interesting, and I suppose for to be able to provide opportunities for students who are competing at a really high level externally outside of here, to give them an opportunity to compete on behalf of ATU Donegal at InterVarsities is something that we're always here to try and support and encourage, and it's something we'll hopefully try and keep developing, because, you know, in society at the moment, the diversity of sports on offer are huge. They're getting bigger. And I suppose we want to try and replicate that here in terms of an ATU Donegal too.
Has it opened your mind and opened your eyes to other sports, Michael, and I suppose how the structures and how they run different elements of sport?
Yeah, listen, without a doubt. My own background, I suppose, came predominantly within team sports. And I suppose to see it firsthand, the individual sports in action, the individual students and individual athletes within these sports, how they become, you know, motivated on a daily basis, to see the training that they put in on a daily basis and the preparation they put in on their own a lot of the time has definitely been eye-opening. You know, coming from a team sport, there's times where just that day you're not maybe quite on it for training and a couple of teammates will pull you through. These students, by and large, are on their own training individually. You know, this year we've definitely put in supports in place for those students in terms of strength and conditioning, and in terms of other supports like that, which will hopefully try and give them that team ethos. But you know, they're definitely are mesmerising to see them in action, to see how they combine things, and I think we can all take lessons off it in terms of life, seeing them in action.
Yeah, we're at the start of a new season, but come the end of the academic year and the sporting season here at the ATU, Michael, if we were to jump forward, what would be seen as a successful period and a successful year here?
Yeah, listen, Camir, I suppose continuing to compete at intervarsity level in numerous amounts of sports is something that we want to try and do here, to try and grow. You know, our current teams that we do have competing here, we want them to continue to compete, number one. And you know, in terms of winning, if that comes, it comes. But I think competing and playing, giving students an opportunity to play, to travel the length and breadth of the country, to play at home games here, to bring good quality sporting fixtures to Letterkenny and to Donegal is something that we're really you know, really looking forward to doing. We did that last year. Our men's soccer team is extremely successful. Some really, really good games here. They're playing in the Premier Division of InterVarsities this year, which is the highest level of men's soccer at third level. Our men's Gaelic football team, we brought Sigerson to Donegal for the first time here last year. We'll look forward to continuing that tradition again this year. So they're just, I suppose, a snippet of two sports in particular. But I think the development of sport as a whole, both the team sports and the individual sports, is something that we're looking to kind of keep continuing that tradition of doing, whether that be in athletics, badminton, as I said, karate, and all those different sports. Boxing is something, again, we would like to grow and continue to grow here. And I suppose that's what we'd like to do, to represent ATU Donegal and all of those sports at InterVarsity level.
I suppose was key in all this as well. You're keeping good sports people in the county, Michael, because the large percentage of all these students are from the county, so they are.
Yeah, listen, we have and say we've grown that cohort, even coming in from outside of the county, is growing on a yearly basis. And again, that's just not down to the sport offering here and the quality of it and the coaching provision that we provide here. It's down to the course offering. I think in the overall college is really, really good. There's a diversity of courses available to students, and students are seeing that both within the county and outside of the county, that, you know, a top class education can be got there. And if they want to compete at the highest level within their sport and try and develop within their sport, they can do that also here. And again, those are the key points that I suppose we try and give to any student that's interested in coming here, is I suppose they can continue to do that, combine a top class education in their field of choice with trying to pursue a strong career within sport also.
Okay, listen, Mike, we'll look forward to what hopefully will be a successful season, and best wishes to you and your team here at the ATU.
Thanks, Ashley.
That's Michael Murphy, who, of course, is the Donegal captain and also the head of sport at the ATU on what's set to be a busy, busy period for the sports teams. Now, it was a night of sporting memories and nostalgia at Letterkenny's Mount Errigal Hotel earlier in the week. On Monday evening, the Donegal Sports Star Awards Committee hosted a special 40th anniversary event where they honoured the winners of the Sports Star Awards from 1980 and 1981. The event had been deferred because of COVID, but some of the winners from those years returned to be recognised for their achievements. Among them was 1980 and 1981 overall winner Sean Carlin, who told Ryan Ferry it was great to be back mixing with the winners once again.
It's great to see everybody after all those years. There wasn't the same emphasis in sport back then as there is now. It was a lot tougher. There wasn't the same science behind the sports. It probably is one of the biggest game changers I've seen in that. But it's great to see everybody, and this has put a spring in our step, because we're all chatting and looking good and feeling that we could go out to compete again, but I doubt it somehow.
Very good. So back to 1980, you were also won the Athletics Award that year, and you represented Ireland. You got the Green Vest. You were in long jump against Holland, and you were competing in the decathlon and anything else that was going.
Yeah, well, I suppose my big thing always was the decathlon. And when I was with Thun Valley in the early days, when Patsy McGonigal was a PE teacher in the Institute of Technology, I remember looking one time at the decathlon tables, and because I was doing a lot of different events, I remember looking up and saying, you know, I possibly could do 7,400, and we've counted up, and he says, you know, well, that would get you to any Olympic or any major games. And I came close. My Irish record was 7,226, and it was just 74 pounds off Olympic qualifying at the time. Now they'll probably take you as a B-string athlete for experience, but then there was nothing like that. It was IAAF rules, or that was it. So I was working at the county council at the time. I remember giving up my job and heading to Belfast to train with Colin Borum, who was the number two. Daley Thompson was the number one. Colin Borum was the number two. So we trained together there, and that was good. And then I moved to London after that to train for a while, because I needed to brush up on my pole vault, things like that. And there was a good coach over there called Bob Warren. I joined Ilford Athletic Club and stayed there for a while. And then after I set the Irish record, I got a call from Sam Adams, who's American national coach out in California. It's like an outreach program where you could go to California and train with him before the 84 Olympics. So basically it was athletes that he presumed that was going to be competing at the Olympics was called out there. So for me, it was a big thing just to get the call out. So of course I went there. I was there for about 8 months, almost a year, and that went well. But you know, in hindsight, I suppose I was doing very well in Belfast, and I had a good setup there, and I was working there, which all, when I look back on it, you know, you make some decisions, but I think I should have stayed in Belfast and probably would have got there, because you know, when you go to California, you're a small fish in a big pool, whereas you're back home in Ireland, you're a big fish. You know, what's the difference? And but other than that, like, I have no regrets. It was a great time. It was I had a great journey, and Thun Valley at the time was a good support for me at the time, and Patsy McGonigal and that. So all in all, it was good. I enjoyed every minute of it.
But like, there's obviously the decathlon. There's great variety to all the different sports. Like, and you know, it must have been challenging for you in some ways. Or there would have been certain sports where you, or certain elements to it where you would have been very strong, and other ones where I'm sure you had to push and push and just to get that extra gain.
Yeah, the big thing about decathlon is like you've got the 10 events over 2 days, and you have to be able to. You have the power events like the throwing events. You have the sprinting events like the running events, and you have to be able to jump. And that's the main thing. Most people can't, you know, either you're either a thrower or a power person or you're a sprint person. It's very hard to get the overall balance. I had a fairly good balance at the time. You know, one of the other things, I never really had any personal best when I was doing the decathlon, which was a big thing. You know, if I had it, my personal best at the time would have added up to about, I think, nearly 7,700, whereas, I mean, my score was, that time was 7,226. So there was lots of things. I probably never really peaked or had my best competition. I was on a great competition once in the Southern Counties in London, as the Southern Counties Championships in England. And remember at the time, Daley Thompson wasn't there. He was away doing a big competition somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And I was winning the competition, and I had 4 personal bests, and I was on for a massive score. And I no-hide it in the pole vault. So if you no-hide it, I've done too high. It was a very, very breezy day, and I got no-hide it. So that was my competition over. So there's lots of things like that looking back. And you know what people don't realize, that you know, to peak for decathlon and you're competing over 2 days, you really only get about 2 competitions in the year, maybe 3, but that's how, because intense it is, because you know you're back to training again. It takes a lot out of you for training for those 2 days. You know, some people, I remember, you know, speaking to guys, you know, you can lose a couple of kilos in weight, believe it or not. That's how intense it is. So you can probably peak for 2 in the year, so you really only do about 2 competitions in the year. So, but no, it's interesting. It was interesting,
but still a great journey. And obviously now, I'm sure when you reflect back on it, and for yourself and for your family, and the opportunity to represent your country and everything that goes with that, like, it must have been a great honour at the time.
It was powerful, and then I was able to, you know, help my own young fella, Gavin, who went on to play at West Brom football. And that, he was a great athlete before he went, and he was a multi-eventer, and he won everything underage in Ireland and in England and Scotland, and then he changed to football. But it was great, you were able to coach them, and I coached a lot at Finn Valley too for a number of years after that as well. And you would have, the biggest thing is about travelling. What I had to do is leave Ireland and get coached. Was, you met some fantastic coaches. Like, I mean, being coached by the American national coach Sam Adams was an unbelievable experience. And you know what that brought to you, it was like an education to me, the whole thing of athletics. I remember saying to someone, you know, one of the issues I had growing up at school didn't do anything for me because I was dyslexic, and I wasn't, it was the age of 39 when I found out that I had dyslexia. So I used sport to try and achieve and get things in my life. And that's one of the things that I would say about sport. Like, I mean, you know, sport to me is as important as education. Like, and that's, so I just use sport to educate myself and move on and move out and meet people and travel and that. So that's, so I would never say, I would never change anything, even though I didn't get to achieve my goal, which is going to the Olympics. I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, so it was all a great experience.
Yeah, and I'm sure you look there now at the young promising athletes coming through, and you know, both from Fuller Field and here in Donegal, and there's a wonderful campus there at Finn Valley now, and I'm sure you think, God, what I could have had with that. But it's going to be great, and it's going to be a great legacy for the Finn Valley area in years to come.
There's no doubt about it. I watched the whole the development of Finn Valley. It wasn't there when I was competing. It was a disused factory, and I've seen the vision that Patsy McGonigal had for development, and I was part of that. I'm a director of I'm the board of directors now at the moment on it, which is great. But like, yeah, I think one of the things that that is important for modern athletes now is good coaches and good facilities and the science behind that. And it's all there now. And we will see a lot of more new Irish athletes coming through, as we've seen there in the last few years now with Kieran McGeehan and with Mark Inglis and people like that there. We will see more of that because we have the facilities, we have the coaches. And it's just, that was something that was lacking back in my day. You know, we really didn't have the coaches. That's why I had to go away, you know, and that's whereas now it's all here, and there's a bigger emphasis on it. You see the county council here getting behind it and everything. That's all real, real positive stuff. I remember when I got the Irish record, there was no emphasis on athletics in those days. Very little anyway. I remember my brother was playing for County Donegal senior team, and they won the McKenna Cup the same weekend as I set a new Irish record. And I always remember there was a half a page in the Independent for Donegal winning the McKenna Cup, and those two lines for Sean Carlin setting a new Irish record in the decathlon. And I always remember that. I remember saying to my brother, "You go and train with the county 2 days a week, and look at the coverage you're getting. I'm giving my life to this, and I'm getting no coverage." So that's the way it was. But again, that's athletics. But it's changed big time now, and we see great profiles, and we see some great athletes just coming through.
Good stuff indeed. That's Sean Carlin, the overall Donegal Sports Star Award winner back in 1980 and 1981. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore has our next sport tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Until then, as always, what's left of your Thursday. Have a good one. From me, Eoghan Kelly, good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.